Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Romans 8:14 says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Is that you today? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? He said, those are the sons of God. Amen. So if you want to be in that category of being of the sons of God, then you want to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Can you do that every day? Sure you can. You can be led by the Spirit every day. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:14 in the Message says, so don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. Amen. And there are things to do and places to go every day. Amen. And to be a blessing to other people. And so again, who are the sons of God? Those are the ones that are being led by the Spirit. Amen. Living a Spirit-led life. I remember one person said this. He said, the answer to 101 questions is to be led by the Spirit. That's true, isn't it? You know, so many situations, you may not know what to do, but if you'll just be led, amen, because he'll lead you and guide you in every situation, you know, if you listen to the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you. He's your teacher. He's your standby. He's there to help you when you're having trouble, amen. And he's there to help you on a daily basis, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but he is what you need, amen. Are you being led by the Spirit today? I like what Keith Moore always says. He says, I'm always at the right place at the right time. Isn't that good? You should say that today. I'm always at the right place at the right time. Amen. Psalms 37:23, that's exactly what it's saying. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. So the steps of a good man are what? They're ordered by the Lord. And it reminded me of a story as I was getting into this, and this is a good story to think about as you're thinking about the Spirit-led life. John G. Lake was driving around a mountain, and he was in his lane, and he was going around the mountain, and the Lord told him, he said, get over into the other lane. And, you know, God does speak to us. He can lead us, can he? And he got into the opposite lane, and he's like, what am I doing? I'm going around the mountain in the opposite lane. But a diesel came flying in his lane. And if he hadn't got over, then he would have got hit by the diesel. So being led by the Spirit could actually save your life. You know, think about that today. It's important to be led by the Spirit. I remember when they were talking about the 9/11 incident, and so many people said that they were led not to go into that building, you know, and to save their lives, you know. But, you know, what if they'd went into that building? So it's important to be led by the Spirit. And that's just one of a million reasons to be led by the Spirit, but it can save your life. Jesus lived a Spirit-led life, and he is our example on how to live a life of being led. Let's look over at Luke, not Luke, the second chapter. We're going to be looking at Jesus' life today in the first part of this series. Luke 2, in the 49th verse, it says, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me, which ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? As Jesus talking as a young man, he went to study in the temple as a young man. They couldn't find him, but he was studying. He said he was about his Father's business. You know, even at a young age, he was about his Father's business. How many of you are about your Father's business today? Are you thinking about your things, or are you about the Father's business? You know, we need to be thinking about the Father's business today. You know, he has plans for all of us, doesn't he? Amen. He has plans for everybody out there, not just me. But we need to be about his business. John 14:9, let's go over there real quick. John 14:9 says, Jesus saith unto them, have I been so long a time with you, and yet thou not know me, Philip? He that seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? So he was always led by the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because he was doing what the Father did, you know, because he was led by the Father. Let's look at the Amplified version of that. It says, Jesus replied, have I been with all of you for so long a time, and do you not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, show us the Father? He was about what God would lead him to do, wasn't he? And he did what God led him to do. And, you know, and he did it so much, he said, you can see how Father's character was and what the Father would have him to do. You learn so much about the Father by seeing Jesus. Jesus did what the Father told him at all times. Let's look over at John 5, the 19th verse. It said, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I like that. He did exactly what the Father did. He tried to align himself perfectly with what God's will was for his life. Are you doing that today? Are you trying to align yourself perfectly with what God's will is for your life? You can do that. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You can walk and talk with him and listen to him like they did in the Garden of Eden. You can spend your time with the Lord and walk and talk with him every day. Praise the Lord. Jesus got all of his insights from the Father. Let's look over at Luke 10, the 22nd verse. Luke 10, 22. And I am reading out the King James because I like the King James Version a lot. Now, you're welcome to read whatever version you want to. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. That's good. Let's look at John, the 3rd chapter, and the 35th verse. It says, for the Father loveth the Son, and he hath given all things in his hand. Isn't that good? The Father loves the Son and giveth, entrusteth, committeth everything into his hand is what the Amplified Version translates that. Isn't that good? And so if you think about it there, God, he gave insights to Jesus, you know, and he's trying to give insights to you, isn't he? You know, listen to how it states that in Luke 10, 22, which we read, all things are delivered to me from my of my Father. So he, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. But he said, all things are delivered to me of my Father. So he gave him insights. He gave him what he needed every day, and he was led by the Father every day. What are some Spirit-led things that he did? Let's look at some things that the Holy Spirit led Jesus to do. He was the perfect example, wasn't he? You know, his whole life was about being led by the Spirit. And you can learn so much about how to be led by the Spirit by watching Jesus. John, the 5th chapter and the 5th through the 8th verse, it says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the waters troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. So he helped one guy, didn't he? And then sometimes he helped a whole lot at one time, didn't he? Isn't that interesting how the Holy Spirit led him? You know, you might be led to help one person or help a whole bunch of people at one time, being led by the Spirit, but this is how he led him. Let's look at Matthew 8, 16. Matthew 8, 16, it says, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils and cast out the spirits with his word and healed how many? All that were sick. So he healed a whole bunch of people at one time. So it's interesting. He was led to help one person, but he was also led to help a whole bunch of people, you know, and sometimes you may be led that way to help one person, you know, or help a whole bunch of people. It's not important who we minister to. Or how many, it's that we're being led by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? How else was Jesus led? Let's look at the 8th chapter of John. I'll give you just a minute to get over there. The 8th chapter of John, and we're going to go to the 2nd verse. And early in the morning it came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what savest thou? This they said, tempting him, and they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Isn't that interesting? when he was led with a tough situation, he stooped down the ground to get some wisdom from God. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even unto the least, last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Interesting. Are you in a tough place today? You know, have you ever been in a tough position? Jesus was in a tough position. These people were trying to get him on every front, and they were trying to tempt him and kind of try to cause trouble for him, you know, but he took the time to stop and get the wisdom from God and be led by the Spirit. How many of us just make decisions without even thinking about it? It's important that you take the time and be led by the Spirit. You shouldn't just make a decision without being led by the Spirit. You know, sometimes you affect more than just yourself. You could be affecting many people, you know, so it's important to take the time. You know, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. Well, now there's lots of conjecture about what he wrote, but that's not important. He took the time and waited for the Holy Spirit to give him the direction that he needed. And some of you may need to slow down and take the time and let the Holy Spirit give you the direction that you need. We're in no hurry here. And don't let the enemy make you feel like that. He's always asking us, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? You know, and you need to stop and not let him get to you and let the Holy Spirit lead and direct you. You know, and Jesus is a great example of that. He took the time and he came up with a great answer, such a great answer. It made everybody clear out, you know, and you can have the enemy clear out quickly if you have a good answer by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So how else was he led? Let's look at John, the 9th chapter, John 9. And we're going to look at the 4th verse there. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I love that. Isn't that good to know Jesus is the light? And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He sent his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. This man get healed the typical way most people get healed? No. You know, and God led him a different direction, didn't he? On how to heal this gentleman, you know. And, you know, today he may have you do something different. It's important to be led, you know, and especially concerning healing. You know, if you stood up Oral Roberts or Kenneth Hagin, and then you stood Benny Hinn there and a couple of other people, you know, who would you most likely go to? You know, it has to do with your faith. And, you know, Jesus always worked with their faith. You know, he knew where their faith was at. He knew exactly what to do because he could see their faith, you know, and Jesus knows your faith, you know, and he works at where you're at, you know, and maybe there's a situation right now, you know, that you say, well, I don't know if I should do that. Well, you know, Jesus is looking at your faith and he's telling you to do that. Sometimes we got to go to the doctor. You know, sometimes we don't need to go to the doctor, but it depends on where your faith is at. You know, maybe you need to go to a certain minister. You know, it depends on where your faith is at. And, you know, and it's important to know where your faith is at and to know which direction you need to go. There's nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't be ashamed of where your faith is at either. We're all building and learning and we're all growing. Amen. And, you know, it's important that you go where you're led. You know, it's important not to do things. I was thinking of a person, matter of fact, while we're talking about this. And he had told me that he was believing for a miracle and he didn't get his miracle. And, you know, and you think about, well, maybe he wasn't being led where his faith was at. Maybe he should have went to the doctor and got a surgery that he needed to have and not gone with a miracle. You know, it's important, you know, that you go where your faith is at. Amen. And so you need to think about that, you know, and you always think about that. You need to be led by where your faith is at. Let's look over what else was Jesus led by. Let's look over at John, the 13th chapter, John 13 in the 5th verse. After that, he poureth water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. That's interesting, you know, that even all he washed all the disciples' feet, but you know that Judas Iscariot was there. Judas was there, and he washed his feet. And you think about that today, you know, he didn't mind showing love to someone that he knew was going to deceive him. And, you know, maybe you have a person today that you know, that it's hard to work with that person, but it's important to show love to them, isn't it? This may be a close person. This was a person that was close in Jesus' life, you know, and he was willing to do the ultimate love sacrifice by washing his feet, you know. And of course, he died for us too, but he washed his feet, you know. You know, that takes some humility, you know, and he took the humility, or he was humble, and he washed his feet and showed love to him anyway. And, you know, today he's showing love to people like that that may not deserve love. You know, he loves everybody, doesn't he? But he is showing love today to people that don't even deserve it. We don't deserve it, you know, but he's showing love to us. Praise the Lord. And he loves everybody, doesn't he? That's good. You think about how he was led there. Let's look over Mark, the 14th chapter. We'll go over this and we'll close with this one here. Mark 14. Mark 14, the 12th verse, it says, "In the first day of unleavened bread, and they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare thou mayest eat the where we may eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith to them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. So there was a man with a pitcher in his hand that they were going to follow. And whosoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. As the disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." Is there a man with a pitcher in his hand waiting on you right now? Well, you think about that. If you're being led, you'll run into the man that has the resources that you need. You know, it's so important to be led by the Spirit. You know, today he may be trying to lead you and guide you, you know, but if he can't lead you and guide you, it makes it really hard for you to meet your provision, the things that you need. Amen. And so it's important that we understand the spirit-led life. We're going to talk more about, you know, how to be led and how to hear his voice in the next few messages. But we're just kind of laying the groundwork today, talking about how Jesus was led. I remember when I was when I was a youth pastor in a small town, I remember we had a situation with one of our vehicles, and I needed another vehicle, like desperately needed another vehicle. And I went to praying to the Lord, and all of a sudden I was led, and I ended up having another vehicle quickly. You know, and I actually had a friend that had a spare vehicle, which I had no idea about, but the Lord led me and I got in touch with that person, and we had another vehicle right away, a good running vehicle. And we had that vehicle for some time, and he worked with us on that vehicle, you know. Well, maybe somebody today, you know, there's a situation where you need something now. You know, it's important that you can be led by the Spirit. Take the time, like Jesus did when he wrote on the ground, to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I remember when I met my wife, I went through a few steps before I ever even seen her. But if I hadn't taken those steps, I never would have been on that pathway to ever probably even meet her. I remember I started a coffee house in front of a sub shop, and I started doing playing some music there, and I invited a bunch of people, and I was ministering to them. And the next thing I know, I was in a coffee house. And I was actually playing with a band in a real coffee house. And if I hadn't done the first step, I may not got to the second step where I was invited to play at the coffee house. And then I ended up meeting my wife, you know. And you think about, you know, there's some major things along that path. And it's important to learn how to be on the right pathway with the Holy Spirit. We've been married for 20-something years now. And you think about that, you know, if you want to have the right people in your life and to have the provision that God has for your life and to get your dreams and your desires, then you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's pray for you today. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit today, Father, and the Holy Spirit-led life that we get to live because of Jesus. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you help each and every person, Father, out there, Lord, to know you, Father. If they don't know Jesus today, Father, if they don't know you, help them to get to know you, Father, and be led by you today. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray for you just to make sure everybody's saved out there. Repeat after me. Jesus, I accept you as Lord. I believe that you were raised from the dead, and I am saved. Amen. So if you pray that with me, you are saved in Jesus' name. And we love you. God bless you. If you'd like to contact us for a prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.